You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
They only put out 1.5 records. The lead singer, Andrew Wood, would die after the completion of this record in a celebration at a party. And a handful of members of this band went on to form another band named Pearl Jam. Yeah, you can understand Andrew Wood. You can't understand what's-his-face. Eddie Vedder. I still like Pearl Jam a lot, but man, can't understand a word comes out of his mouth. It's like listening to Volbeat. This is from Fox Business. Dozens of come-and-go convenience stores across several states are about to be rebranded.
Come and gone.
There are currently 300 come-and-go locations across the Midwest and southern parts of the U.S. Their T-shirts, because of the spelling, is a very popular item that they sell in their stores. The company was founded in 1959 by W.A. Krause and T.S. Gentle when they opened their first full-service gas station in Hampton, Iowa. In Missouri, there are more than 50 come-and-go locations. They will begin rebranding in March.
Is it right that they're switching to Maverick?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
That is correct.
That's one of those national chains that is just massive that we don't see a lot here, but we are going to now.
They're very similar to Quick Trips and things like that. Full-service convenience stores.
Yeah, nice convenience stores.
Yeah, Maverick's not bad.
They're like a miniature Buc-ee's.
Very miniature, yeah.
But yeah, very tiny.
Yeah,
compared to Buc-ee's, yeah.
Yeah.
But can't really compare anything to Buc-ee's. So, it's kind of in its own...
Yeah,
category.
It's a class.
It's a Costco with gas pumps.
It's a mall with gas pumps.
Yeah.
But anyway,
it's a joy. I love Buc-ee's.
Don't hold me to this, but you know, come and go T-shirts are a hot item. People buy them as a joke, basically.
People love the brand,
but it was never intended to be naughty. The two owners were, from my understanding, extremely religious men, and they didn't get the joke, so to speak.
Well, yeah, they were just trying to come up with a different way to spell those two commonly used words. I mean, we see quick stop.
Or quick trip is Q-U-I-K.
Wait, what joke?
Yep.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks.
Why? Honest to God.
Well, they sell gas. Is that part of the joke?
Yeah. They want you to come in
and then go.
And then please go.
Don't stick around.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Maybe come on in. Buy a few things.
Maybe. Text line. Sam, Costco has gas pumps. Dang it, you're right.
Not as many.
That's right. They do. Starbucks facing a new lawsuit filed by Missouri's attorney general alleging the restaurant chain relies on race and sex-based hiring practices that violate federal and state laws. The complaint also claims the coffee chain's hiring policies have led to slower service and higher prices for consumers because it is not recruiting the most qualified workers. Well, who determines the qualifications and whether somebody is qualified or not? The lawsuit filed yesterday by Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey claims that Starbucks' diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI policies, are mere pretext for its actual commitment to unlawful discrimination.
Okay.
Moving on.
What's next?
Moving on.
Not talking about that one.
Okay. Got a couple stories over here. The struggle between law enforcement and suspects resulted in a suspect firing an officer's gun. You may recall this a couple of years ago.
2023, November, Oak Park Mall.
At Oak Park Mall. That's right. Freaked everybody out. A man pleaded guilty to several charges in connection with that altercation, that shooting at Oak Park Mall, on November 12th of 2023, Nery Alberto Gonzalez Munoz pleaded guilty today to two counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer and one count of misdemeanor theft. Authorities tell KMBC Channel 9 at the time that three plainclothes police officers were following two men suspected of shoplifting at the Oak Park Mall. When a struggle broke out, one of the suspects got a hold of an officer's gun and a single shot was fired inside the mall near the food court. Nobody was hit.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was one of the retailers there right near the food court. If you're familiar with the Oak Park Mall, you can probably guess which one it was. It's not the one selling hats. And they took off, and you know, the food court's often a crowded place, and these guys being the plainclothes officers, tried to surround the suspects and were out-strengthed. Wow.
You doing okay today?
What's the word that I'm looking for? Overpowered.
Overpowered?
Thank you. Overpowered. And he got a hold of his gun and fired a shot.
We think there might be something in the heat ducts around here.
I don't know what's been going on
that
today.
That has affected his brain lately, my brain last hour. So there's something not right.
Thank you, Dan, for laughing at us.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just laughing.
Okay. Well, riddle me this, and I'm not going to get into politics about this, but I've thought about this
going
for a
back
long
to
time.
DEI policies?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
But I just saw a story on ABCnews.com that, you know, there is apparently a trimming down of federal government spending going on over the last couple of weeks.
Yes.
I mean, let's not live in a bubble, okay? And obviously, Dan had a report that the Education Department is next, that there were some people from DOGE that were already at the Education Department today. And then I read that the next thing that is on the list is trimming down the staff at American embassies. And I'm not getting political, but I have long thought if you wanted to save money, and maybe you would tell me it's a fraction of a fraction or a drop in the bucket or whatever, but you got to start with a drop in the bucket at some point. Why do we have an embassy? And I looked it up. Why do we have an embassy in Fiji? What American interest are we promoting? I mean, I know a lot of Americans vacation in Fiji.
All of them.
The only thing that I can think of that you would possibly need, and I would just put a consulate there with one consular, is if you lose your passport while you're in Fiji, you're going to need to get a new one. Yeah, mm-hmm. You're going to need to get a new one. How many people does it take to print a passport?
I mean, we've made jokes about how there are certain departments, even within this state, where they send out a press release and we joke like this is their Super Bowl because their PR team hasn't had to write anything for the last 50 years.
Yeah, because you have to get a license for catfish season.
Yeah,
it starts tomorrow.
You know, this is one of those situations, and we have embassies all over this country that really don't do a whole lot.
All
over the planet, thank you, that really don't do a whole lot. And to answer your question, why do we have one there? Because somebody got the funding approved years ago and nobody has questioned why we're still funding it.
Well, these embassies that we have in countries large and small and minuscule, part of the projection of the United States of America and influence along with soft power around the world.
Yeah, but there's a tiny little country between France and Spain called Andorra.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked this one up too. Does the United States have an embassy in Andorra? They do not. There is no embassy in the tiny little country of Andorra. It is serviced, if you go to Andorra, which is a very small mountainous country, again, right there on the border between France and Spain. If you are an American in Andorra and you need the services of an embassy, you have to go to Spain. And they will help you in Madrid. If you are in Liechtenstein, a very tiny country between Austria and Switzerland, you go to an embassy on either one of those two countries because we do not waste the money of putting an embassy in Liechtenstein.
It's also a, what's the phrase? Not a lifeline, but it's a resource. As a citizen of this country, if you're traveling around the world, you happen to find yourself in a small country in the Pacific and something happens, well, there's your resource, the embassy. They're there to help.
Okay. But it requires military. Every embassy has to have military protection.
Of course,
you have an ambassador. Mm-hmm. They have support staff. I would almost bet that the U.S. embassy in Fiji has a public relations department. I'd almost bet it.
I bet you they have 20 staff members.
Nice work if you can get it.
It'd right? be great
in
work.
Paradise.
It's a 4 to 8 year vacation.
Sign me up. From the text line, do all countries have embassies in all countries?
No, we do not have an embassy in North Korea for obvious reasons.
And other countries around the world do not have embassies in every other country.
Correct.
Yeah.
Anyway, I saw that story and I'm like, you know, I actually agree with this. Let's trim the staff of all these embassies. It's just...
I think a lot of people would agree that on the surface, trimming budgets and looking for ways to cut costs is always a good thing.
Yeah.
Coming up next, religion.
Yeah, no, I'm done. But somebody says...
So I was thinking about Catholic... No, just kidding.
You want to talk about whether Jesus was the true son of God or just a prophet? We can talk about abortion. We can get into guns.
We could talk about, you know, the four emperors of Rome during that 1 year, about 1900 years ago.
Somebody says under an attack or a terrorist attack, you go to your embassy. I don't see Fiji falling under terrorist attack anytime soon.
But it could.
Okay.
It's just one of those things.
All right.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. He's Dan Weinbaum. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. Dana returns next week. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ.
From the text line, honestly, if there is a terror attack on Fiji, it's probably going to be at the U.S. Embassy.
I'm not laughing at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Very interesting point. Yeah, we attracted it because Sam and I were talking over the break. I mean, what a plum job! Like, if I was, you know, politically connected to somebody who would go on to be president or something, and they're like, "Hey, I want to offer you an ambassadorship,"
which, by the way, is a massive honor. We're not trying to talk down about ambassadors. The ambassador of Fiji, huge honor.
Yeah. But if I was close to somebody who, you know, was powerful enough and politically astute enough to become president of the United States, and that person came to me and said, Scott, you know, you're a big donor to my campaign. You work tirelessly on the campaign trail for me. I want to reward you. And that's how a lot of people get these jobs anyway. We all know that. It's just it's a gift. I want to give you an ambassadorship. Don't you dare give me one of importance. I don't want to go to Russia.
I don't want to go to Afghanistan.
I don't want to go anywhere even to our big allies like Japan, Britain, France. Don't you dare send me there. I want Fiji or Barbados.
Bahamas.
I would love the ambassadorship in the Bahamas.
By the way, I've pulled the list up here. Of course, there are not numbers, but there's at least 10 to 15 for every letter of the alphabet.
Yeah. And it's completely and totally unnecessary. You know? I mean, what do we need one in?
Where is Holy See?
Holy See is the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. I should know that as a Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let me go ahead and pretend I didn't say that.
Okay. Do we have one in Monaco? Monaco, not Morocco, Monaco.
We have one in Morocco. We do not have one in Monaco.
Because I would assume that the one that they would use the embassy in France or Italy for that one.
We have the Maldives.
You can give me that one.
Madagascar, I'm so in. Micronesia.
I could do that. Amazon, by the way, here comes the Dumbest Worker in America award. Amazon has apologized today after actor Mandy Moore posted in anger that a delivery driver from Amazon left a package at her in-law's home, or should I say what was left of it, in Los Angeles.
Come again?
The Amazon dropped off a package.
Is this home in Altadena?
It was in that area. Yes, it was. It was completely destroyed.
Oh, no.
Moore posted an image of a single box in front of a pile of rubble.
I'm not laughing.
That was her husband's parents' home.
Oh, that is horrifying.
The photo was posted to Moore's Instagram with a caption telling Amazon to, quote, do better. She said,
I'm actually struggling with this one. They did promise swift delivery.
She wrote, can we not have better discretion than to leave a package at a residence that no longer exists?
That's the address on the box.
How did they know?
You paid Amazon. Well, maybe GPS? It was GPS, or it was they had the house number on the curb, like a lot of houses do.
A spokesperson for Amazon said in a statement that the company reached out to Moore on social media to apologize.
And you can't fault the employee here, because they are held to ridiculously high standards when it comes to delivering these packages. And I do believe they get like a demerit of sorts if they fail to deliver all of their packages and deliver them in a timely fashion.
Do you think they took a picture of the package outside the residence my neighborhood?
Well, a picture of the package and what was left of the residence, yes. That is so bad.
Yep, there's the picture. I'm laughing at the stupidity, not out of the tragedy that is this lost family home.
Mm-hmm.
But the house is gone. Completely gone.
Wow.
And there's a package.
I'm just now seeing the headline, so I don't want to bring it up yet. But we can talk about it after the break if we want to. From the New York Post, the lawyers for the Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger hope that a new bombshell piece of evidence will set him free.
Okay, let's get to the bottom of the hour break, and we'll both read that one. From NBC News, bad news at the breakfast table, your morning cup of coffee could soon be getting more expensive. The benchmark that sets the global price of coffee has more than doubled over the past year, with 25% of that surge coming since the start of 2025. For the first pound, 1 pound of coffee costs more than $4 on commodity markets. Quoting here from Bank of America, an analyst with them, expect retail coffee prices to keep grinding higher. Consumers showing signs of price fatigue. The price run-up is largely driven by climate change-fueled weather patterns that have disrupted ag production around the world. Chocolate prices are up sharply as well for similar reasons, with higher temperatures and rainfall levels spoiling the yields in West Africa.
They are predicting higher prices. You know, a lot of people buy chocolate for Valentine's Day. Higher prices mm-hmm. coming up on Friday for those chocolate purchases because of the, at first it was a drought, I believe, in the chocolate growing region, cocoa growing region. And then last year they had a wet season, which also dwarfs growth.
By the way, I had this story ready to go, and then I must have deleted it or moved on to something else before. But there was a story. I'll find it later, because Valentine's Day is on Friday, gentlemen, and ladies too.
If you haven't made dinner plans yet, don't try.
Yeah. We're actually doing a late lunch at Silo's, which is
smart.
One of my favorite restaurants in town. I love that
place. Wait, not on Friday, though.
No, on Saturday.
Oh, we didn't have to say that, but yeah.
I didn't give the time. But anyway, there was a story on one of the major news sources about how many flowers are being shipped into the United States just for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah. And I believe most of them out of Colombia.
It is an outrageous number.
Yeah, I am going away from the they're going to die in 2 weeks flowers this year.
Yeah,
I asked the girlfriend what kind of plant. She's a big plant lady. Oh. What kind of plant do you want? And full disclosure, I already forgot. So I'll be asking again.
Was it an orchid?
No. I asked. I don't remember. I forgot. So I'll be asking again.
Oh.
That's how thoughtful I am.
Well, and that'll convince her that you pay attention to every word that comes
exactly.
out of her mouth.
She will then know that's right. Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and preface with that.
That when she speaks,
right.
You don't just zone her out. You tune
in. Of course. You unconditionally tune in. Listening to every single syllable. You're right.
Absolutely. Good man. 913-586. You're dead. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. All right, did you have a chance to read through that New York Post story?
I did. It is a big old nothing burger. Look at me clicking on clickbait and thinking that we've got some kind of bombshell. Well, they did use bombshell in the headline, but it is nothing. Defense attorneys for Idaho murder suspect Brian Koberger hope that the bombshell evidence might exonerate him from the charges of stabbing 4 college students to death.
Okay.
3 women, 1 man. Happened back in November of 2022. The evidence, the bombshell evidence.
Has it been that long?
Oh, it has been that long. Yeah. that they claim that they have just discovered. And by the way, what they're hoping for is a mistrial here. They're trying to say that the prosecutors left evidence out to paint the picture that Koberger was the victim or the suspect. The bombshell evidence that they are claiming that they have just found are two samples of blood from inside the home that they have not been able to identify. The prosecutors said, yeah, we know. We reported that. That's not new evidence. This is just one of those, we're going to put this out into the media, trying to sway the public opinion about Mr. Koberger. Okay. Of course, innocent until proven guilty. But when all arrows point in one direction, typically that's where it goes.
And we are moving on. Also from the New York Post, Kadarius Toney, former Kansas City Chiefs player, was arrested last week for allegedly putting his hand around a woman's throat during a January dispute. Court documents viewed by the Post state that the former Chiefs wideout and Giants draftee squeezed the woman's neck, quote, with enough force to cause her to be unable to breathe, leave red marks on her neck, and cause hemorrhaging in her eyes during a January 14th incident in Douglasville, Georgia.
Toney, that is some extreme aggression right there.
The hemorrhaging of the eyes, I mean, that takes a lot of pressure, doesn't it?
That is a lot of force. That is not, yeah.
Toney also allegedly attempted to keep her from dialing 911 by taking the victim's phone, according to TMZ. He's been charged with obstructing a 911 call, aggravated assault, or strangulation. And that's all we got. Okay. But he was recently waived, by the way, by the Browns.
Yeah, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Chiefs. We did not sign him for another year. He got picked up by the Browns for about half a season and then was cut.
Okay. Story here from CNBC. What the end of the penny would mean for the economy, your piggy bank, and the way that America prices items. And I am going to disagree with one thing in this story. I'm no economist. But it says here, banishing the penny could alter the prices of many small-ticket goods. Quoting here from an economics professor at Bentley University by the name of David Gulley, he says prices would have to be rounded to the nearest 5 cents to allow for cash payments and correct change received back. That will mean the end of the $6.99 fast food combo meals. No, it won't. Because every city has a different level of sales taxation.
Right. They're not $6.99 anyway.
Yeah. They're if you go in, say, for example, let's use a rounded number of 10%. Let's say a city has a 10% sales tax, right? And let's say only the city sales tax is applied to the price of the combo meal.
Which, by the way, in Kansas City, it's pretty close to 10%.
Yeah. That would be 69 cents of tax.
Right.
So it would still be penny. It doesn't mean the end of,
maybe 760 something.
Yeah. $19.99 sale, or, come on down. This item is only $29.99. Everything's still going to be $29.99.
No, I think everybody's freaking out about the idea of change. Nobody likes change, and here we are talking about it. And I don't mean change money. I mean doing something different than it's been done for decades or centuries. And the idea of getting rid of the penny is making everybody freak out. But we also have to think back to the idea that we used to have something smaller than a penny.
We had the half penny. Got rid of that in 1857.
Because there was no use for it anymore. Nothing was cheap enough that you needed a half penny. And quite frankly, today, if you have a penny, what is it worth? Obviously, 1 cent. But that's not going to get you anything anywhere.
It says here, Canada, which eliminated their penny in 2013, cash transactions were rounded to the nearest 5 cent. Okay, so that means it could have been rounded down or up.
Correct. Now, most businesses are going to round up. That's just the way that it's going to go. But we're talking 3 cents here.
However, well, maybe.
Or maybe four.
But it says here, Canada's experience in eliminating the penny shows that there are some additional costs for consumers to bear. A 2017 paper by Canadian economist Christina Chung found that penny rounding in grocery transactions alone imposed a rounding tax of roughly $3 million from Canadian consumers to grocery vendors.
For the entire country?
Yeah, but I know it's not a lot. $3.27 million. But they are only a country of 30 million some odd people.
Yeah.
We're a country of 330 something.
I get the concerns, but I think it's I think it is going to be worth more to quit producing the penny and the nickel, for that matter, because I believe it costs 11 cents to make a nickel.
I believe you're right.
Is going to save us money in the long run. And no matter what, we're not going to stop things from getting more expensive. I mean, it would take something dramatic, and I mean extremely dramatic, for things to stop getting more expensive. So the idea that we're going to be tacking on 3 cents to random items that we buy.
Yeah, and the story went on to say that that was an increase of only $157 per grocery store in Canada per year.
Yeah.
It is a minimal increase.
Right. And of course, it adds up, but it's nothing to freak out about.
They also say that America's, the penny that you have may increase in value. The gazillion pennies hoarded in piggy banks, sock drawers, and hiding under your car seats would gradually increase in value. Pennies would become more scarce over time, and eventually increase in value. In the near term, they might become useless, depending how the Treasury treats them.
Now, keep in mind, there are still 250 billion, with a B, in circulation.
That's it?
250 billion pennies. What do you mean that's it? That's a lot.
I thought it was like a trillion or something.
A quarter trillion.
Huh. Okay.
Now, if we're going to slippery slope everything, you know, I do worry about the idea of getting rid of hard currency and what that means for the impending future. There are countries that have switched entirely to a digital currency, and, you know, we can go down the rabbit hole of that. That doesn't seem like it's going to serve us any good.
No, I'm good.
Yeah.
Dude, you will pry hard currency out of my cold, dead grip.
I think that it's something that's going to be very, very difficult for a majority of the American people to buy into. And you're not going to be able to do it unless you can convince them to buy into it.
And so that they would have to convince you that it's perfectly safe.
Correct.
You know, but I'm always amazed at, you know, people who shop online. I will not buy from somebody or something that I'm not aware of. Does that make sense? Like if I'm looking if I'm looking for a specific kind of a gift for my brother or something, because I rarely shop online to begin with. But if it takes me to a website that
doesn't look familiar to you.
Yeah, or it's just, you know, especially with AI nowadays, not to get all, I'm not AI fearful. I'm AI cautious. I'm AI cautious. And but they could even, AI could set up websites with an item that you might think you would want, and it's just phony baloney. They just digitally created it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we saw the guy that I believe it was a power drill that he bought on eBay or Temu or one of those sites.
And they sent him a picture.
And they sent him a printed out picture of the power drill, which is hilarious, very frustrating for that guy, but hilarious for people reading the news.
How does Amazon verify that everybody who's selling on there is legit?
They don't. That's just the simple answer.
It would be impossible.
Yeah. It has become, I mean, we always make fun of Facebook Marketplace. And obviously on Amazon, you're not inviting somebody to come meet you in a dark parking lot to buy the item. But it's really no different. Amazon at this point is no different than Facebook Marketplace. You can sign up. You can make an account as a seller with no company. I, Sam Stevie, can go on tomorrow and sign up as a seller on Amazon and sell random stuff out of my garage. But, and as long as I'm shipping it to them and using their payment system, I am then a third-party vendor on Amazon.
But all right, let me give you an example. Let's say that I'm a ne'er-do-well. So when do I do well?
Ne'er.
Oh, that's right. Let's say that I am selling off my CD collection that I have at home, okay? I have 850 CDs. And I take pictures of every single CD that I've got, and I put it up on Amazon under my account, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not getting rid of my CD collection because I'm a ne'er-do-well. You buy my Kiss Animalize CD from 1984 for $4.50. You send it through on the payment that I've set up. I got your 450 cents. I never send you the CD.
Well,
What's to stop me?
That is one thing that Amazon is very good about. They do have a pretty solid system of checks and balances where if you purchase something and the seller does not send it, they are not going to allow that seller to operate as a seller much longer.
But what if I get away with it real quick? Like, I mean, my whole 850 CDs sell out in a day.
Well, you just got away with it and you got lucky, but you're never going to be able to sell anything on Amazon again.
Okay.
And that's kind of the difference between that and like an eBay, where companies can get away with scamming you more often because there's not as an aggressive system of checks and balances. But, I mean, you could go steal, you know, you're a ne'er-do-well, right?
Yeah.
So you could go steal hundreds of KISS CDs and sell them as if you own them, and Amazon
which happens all the time, I bet.
Oh, yeah.
I bet that happens all the time. From the text line, how much does it cost to produce a penny? About 3 cents.
And 11 cents for a nickel.
I think they indicated the other day that 83, I'm just going off memory here, so forgive me, $83 million is lost every year minting pennies.
Now, I read this somewhere. I'm not certain if this is 100% true, but I do believe they have not produced pennies in like 2 years.
Really?
They got to it, you know, there's a certain capacity with a certain number in circulation when they decide, you know, we don't need more of them right now.
How do they even know that? I mean, how many pennies are just laying in the grass somewhere? That's true.
How many pennies are buried in the dirt? Yeah. We had a guy on the text line earlier this week or last week saying that they had 8 to 10 buckets full of them.
You know you need a dolly to get that, to lift those things.
Do they know how many pennies that guy has?
They're that heavy.
Yeah.
Two men or a dolly, for sure. Hey, don't forget to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. Sam does a great job getting every hour up on podcast immediately after it airs. You can find the Dana and Parks podcast at kmbz.com. Hey, don't forget, Fridays at 5, we do Festivus Friday, the airing of the grievances. That is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com. Bill Belichick in the news today?
Oh, well, he not directly in the news, but yesterday his girlfriend, who is 4 years younger than me, keep in mind he is 45 years older than her or something like that. Mm-hmm. She made news yesterday because she decided to post an anniversary, which is not really an anniversary. But when you're young and naive,
is it 6 months?
It's an anniversary.
Is it 6 months?
She posted yesterday that February 11th is their 4 year. And no, they have not been dating for 4 years. You might be wondering, what is she celebrating?
Not February 11th. What is she celebrating?
Their meet-iversary.
Okay.
4 years ago, Bill Belichick, for whatever reason, had a hold of her logic textbook, the deductive logic textbook that she had from college because she was in college. And he left her a note. Jordan, thanks for giving me a course on logic. Safe travels, signed Bill Belichick. And then he provided the numbers of every Super Bowl he's won.
No, he didn't.
That is an absolute fact. On the inside of the cover of the book.
Now, why did he have the book? Was he like a visiting professor or something?
I have no idea. Oh, it was on a flight.
No.
They were on a flight together. They happened to be seated next to each other. Why Bill Belichick's not flying on the plane? Oh, wait, that's Robert Kraft's plane. That's why.
So he would clearly fly first class. She probably would as well. So she comes for money.
Yeah. And he grabbed her textbook and wrote a little note. And dated it February 11th, 2021.
Okay.
Little meet-iversary, 4 years.
These people are all older than her. Celebrating birthdays today, Michael McDonald from the Doobie Brothers, also a very successful solo career, is 73. China Phillips from Wilson Phillips is 57. Josh Brolin, also 57. Arsenio Hall, 69. And Tara Strong, who's a voice actress, a very successful one, clearly, based on her parts, is 52. We got to run. Have a great night. Bonus hour is coming up next. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, Sam Stevie III. I am coughing my brains out in here.
His name is Scott Parks.
Thank
you. And this is Dana and Parks on KMBZ.
Be safe, be well, and be good. We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.